WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bandpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ooh.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Spot.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. Haha. Snoop Dogg.
Dub C.
All up in here. Bang, bang. Yeah. Bang, bang. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Straight cheek bang. Yeah.
Cold of the nights, dropping these things on your dome. Hitting up my enemies, mad dogging them with a heart full of stone. Bam, bam, kicking your dough down, throw down, dirty get low down. It's about to go down. Who ready for the showdown? Which one of y'all wanna be the first to get tossed in the tussle? Buckle, choked up on these muscles and taste these knuckles. Lost, I'm running them all. Haters, I'm gunning them all. Tricks on a denim all, and I ain't got no love for none of y'all. I'm coming through like a roll cam, giving it up with both hands, slaughtering your whole fam, ripping up the program. Total chaos. Your snake eyes, so can't none of you busters hurt me. Don't I'm a G with no mercy.
When I say yeah, you say yeah. Come on, hell, hell, come on, hell, yeah. Come on.
And welcome to WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Sorry about the long thing go. Mace is here. I have no idea who else is.
I'm here, apparently. Welcome, everybody. The usual format got screwed up because somebody didn't turn up their mic, Tim Stein. Oh, wait, Tim's not here.
Is it working now?
There we go.
It wasn't that I didn't turn it up. It was on. It wasn't working.
Oh.
So something went afoul at some point. I don't know why.
Anyway, intro to the show, Mega.
God. What Mace said. Hi. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where apparently the producer is reminding us of the worst theme song CD WWE ever released.
Yep, live right here on the show tonight.
Everyone, prepare your earplugs and mute buttons. You will be needing them.
Pretty
now, though,
much.
Don't mute it, because you've got me, the be-all, end-all of all of our little network, the Omega. I'm joined by Mace.
Yeah, rapping over Steve Austin's song, and yet we were just talking about, you know, rednecks versus rappers.
Yeah, we were.
Apt choice.
Yep.
Well, this is when rednecks and rappers got along, and that's not a good union.
Yeah, that's true. You'd never really have the situation where rap and a redneck should really get along.
Not really, no.
Yeah, not at all. So we are down one Tim Stein tonight.
Uh-huh.
He's apparently working still. That's what he says.
Priorities are clearly whacked.
Right, work over the show? What?
No.
Priorities. Anyway, yeah, Tim's not here. Hooray, I guess. I don't know. But we're here to cover pro wrestling for the week. See what these two thought of pro wrestling for the week. And we start, as always, with win or fail. And we'll start with you, Mace. What was your win?
My win for this week, I never thought I'd say this, but Alicia Fox flipping her shit. I was in hysterics, especially with the commentary. JBL, Michael Cole, and Jerry Lawler had no idea what to say, what to do, while she just freaked out in front of them.
I think the best was she took JBL's hat, and the look he had when she walked away was priceless.
Yeah, supposedly the way to calm down Alicia Fox is give her a cowboy hat. Because she calmed down straight away and had a smile, and she strutted off.
Yeah, she said she had a moment on that show.
She had a Tommy Wiseau moment is what she did.
Yeah.
It's the second most forced tantrum I've ever seen.
Pretty much, but it was funny. And it's the most entertaining she's been in many years. People, it's just a shame that it doesn't really follow up with anything decent. So
people actually talked about Alicia Fox this week.
Well, she is one of the best matches ever.
Oh my god. I'm never gonna forget that.
No. No, not at all.
Alright, Omega. What about you?
I'm going to NXT for mine.
Okay.
Main event. Tyson Kidd, Sami Zayn, Tyler Breeze. Fucking awesome triple threat match.
I would agree. It was a really, really good match.
At one point, the crowd was chanting all three guys, and I lost my shit.
They did tear the house down. If you haven't seen it, get the network. It's available there. Watch it. It was awesome. And it allowed Tyson Kidd to actually get a title shot in 2 weeks at TakeOver.
See, the more hair he has on his head, the better he does.
No, I think it might still have something to do with, you know, this whole Total Divas thing. Because, you know, here it is, you know, most of the people on that show have gotten title shots, and now I suppose Tyson Kidd's turn by having him on NXT.
Very painful to just go down in flames, especially...
Tim! Bye-bye. Thank you.
The hell was that?
I think he was trying to call in from his tablet or something, which, you know, has no mute button. Idiot. But anyway, Tyson Kidd. He gets an NXT title shot.
It's a title shot. You know, it's a step up from nothing.
Yeah, good point.
Guy really does deserve more. I really hope he earns his way back up.
Yeah, it's sort of weird that he's having to go all the way back down to practically developmental and work his way back up from there, but I suppose he has been out for, what, over a year?
It's been a long time, yeah.
So I suppose it makes sense.
Our producer's not here to tell us to go on, so we're just going to keep going.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I'll take over and go with my fail of the week.
I have a feeling. Huh?
Here it is. You know, I got a friend on NXT. Most people have heard me talk up Matt Silver or Buddy Murphy, as he's known in NXT. Finally, the boy gets his debut on NXT television, and he gets the shit kicked out of him for like 3 minutes straight. The other guy didn't even get tagged into the match, but he just got his ass handed to him. I'm like, great. A great start for your career over there, Matt.
Everyone starts as a jobber.
I know, but at least it would have been nice to see him at least get a little bit of offense in. The kid is extremely technically solid in his wrestling ability, so the fact that he sort of went out there and just ended up being stomped on for a good 2.5 minutes, and then that was it.
I watched that, and I felt bad for you, Mace.
Dude, I felt even worse. I felt even worse for Buddy. Those trunks are terrible. I'm sorry. I know that they're, like, trying to work some sort of, you know, Australian or what we call Ocker gimmick into it, but no. You don't need these shorts that look like they've been torn up by something to portray, yes, you are a tough Australian. Can we please let go of the fucking stereotype?
No.
Yeah, no shit. They even said during commentary, he wrestles with sharks. At that point, I just facepalmed. Mind you, I was surprised. That comment came from William Regal. I was expecting something along the lines of, oh, they're just those commoners we sent, those commoner criminals that we sent down to that other country.
Give it time. It'll come out of his mouth.
Yeah, no shit.
Alright. Oh my god.
Just wait. You wait. Next time you see him, he'll be dressed as Paul Hogan.
I was half expecting that on his debut.
What about you, Omega?
Who let Alicia Fox referee?
Alicia Fox referee?
Oh god, you put a fucking mace threw me off and put Alicia Fox in my head.
And take two, your fail is...
Hang on. Where's my script? Hang on. Eva Marie. Who let Eva Marie referee?
Vincent Kennedy McMahon?
I'm happy your stocks crashed, Vince.
Oh.
Good lord. I knew Eva Marie was bad. Who doesn't?
Uh-huh.
I wasn't aware she had trouble counting to three.
Well...
Something tells me I missed something hilariously awful.
You missed a 2-minute match where Natty was pinned for like a week, and it took her forever to start counting it.
Yeah. Okay, so Eva can't wrestle, and now she can't even wrestle referee.
She botched a three count.
Excuse me while I go headbutt a wall.
There's a good one right over there.
Oh, good lord. Okay, here's the thing.
Yeah, the Eva Marie wall, the one with a big dent in it.
It's one thing to not be able to wrestle, okay? It's another thing to not be able to referee. Because seriously, like, all props to the referees in the wrestling business all over the world, but that job is easy as hell. You stay out of the way of the wrestlers. When somebody gets pinned, you count 1, 2, 3, if it needs be. You know, that's it. There's not much to it. If she can't do a fucking 3 count,
that's even
release the bitch from her contract, please.
That's even, like, especially as a special guest referee. You know they're going to work their own match. It was only a 2-minute match. And not had a bad 2-minute match at that.
It was better than the Raw match. Yeah, I don't have anything to add about Eva Marie. Omega got more of my reactions last night. It's like, oh god, why did that Eva wrestle? Or referee, rather. It's just, yeah. And why is Vampiro coming? Anyway, WWE Network is showing Spring Stampede at the moment. 2000. So that's win and fail for the week. We would have had Tim's, but, well, he's in his car having a smoke while he should be working. So we'll move on a little bit and talk about one of the bigger stories of the week, and that's, well, the WWE stock taking a huge hit on Thursday and Friday, basically dropping 50%.
Now, the one thing that I've wondered about this, because it's been big news for the last couple of days, it's been all over the place, was it just a bad day on the stock market? Like, Sometimes there are just really, really bad days on the stock market and everybody takes a gigantic hit.
No.
No. So it was them specifically.
This was the WWE television deal and people not being happy about it. That's why the WWE stock dropped, because everyone was like, we were high expectations, and then, well, once the deal was announced and they didn't really give a figure, all of the stock people went, sell, and it was a massive sell-off. Reportedly, Vince McMahon lost $340 million in the sell-off. It's a lot of money, Omega.
It really is, but in a way, I kind of feel like it was WWE's fault at a point, because you had Major League Sports organizations that actually did get their revenue up that much higher, and you know, and that led to a lot of bluster that, oh yeah, we can do that too. We're WWE. We got great cable ratings. Yeah, we can renegotiate for three times as much as we've got now.
Soccer went from 18 million to 90 million a year, and they lost half the ratings before the big contract increase. So WWE had a reason to think they could.
Soccer is also also one of the longest running organized sports in the world, as well as the most popular sport in the world.
With declining ratings, at least here in the U.S.
Well, let's be honest, WWE's ratings aren't exactly at their highest point in history either.
No, but they're not dropping like soccer has. WWE's ratings are actually stable at this point.
No matter what WWE ever thinks, they're always going to be a niche. It is not going to be you can't compare it to a major league sports organization. You just can't.
And it's more of the people who watch WWE are not as well financially off as some people who watch the sports, and WWE USA or Sci-Fi can't sell high advertising rates for the WWE product, which is why WWE can't get double or triple the money they were hoping for. We're a bunch of lowbrow individuals.
Yeah.
can I throw some blame on the one thing that I reckon really impacted their negotiations?
Oh, what's that?
What's that thing you have on your TV right now, Rock?
It has nothing to do with it.
You want to make a bet?
Uh-huh.
You have something that the WWE has invested a lot of their money in. A lot of cable companies have pulled out of carrying pay-per-views recently. This would have taken a lot of the networks going, well, they look like they're transitioning to their own network, making their own online distribution model. Why should we pay, you know, big money for something that they're slowly trying to work into controlling themselves? They put themselves in a bad position for negotiation.
I disagree, because if you look at all the four major sports, they all have their own network. And NFL Net right now is also coming up with their own internet mobile distribution network.
But this also plays into what Omega said. It's a niche.
I agree.
All the major sports, yes, they have their own setup and everything. You take a niche product and try to make it all self-contained, a lot of networks are going to go, fine, make it self-contained. It just means we're going to pay you less for your product. Because why should we pay you more for something that you're going to try and push people towards and take people away from us?
See,
a lot of those networks do have ties in with the pay-per-view companies, too.
Not really, no. Not here in the U.S., they don't. Because basically you have in-demand, and that's basically your major pay-per-view provider, and that goes through all the cable companies. Another reason why they didn't get their money is, well, no one was bidding for them. That's sort of half the reason. No one was bidding as high as they were hoping. They didn't start that whole, you know, Spike TV versus USA type war trying to outbid each other.
You know, when I describe WWE as a niche, that not only goes for just overall fan base, that also goes for how investors, advertisers, you know, how big business sees them. You know, pro wrestling, much as we like the product, much as we have respect for the workers and the people who do all this, it's never going to be taken seriously. Ever. No matter what the ratings are, no matter what the popularity level is, pro wrestling just has a stigma to it that is going to prevent a lot of people, especially people with money, from actually taking it as seriously as, you know, football, baseball, or even soccer in this case.
It's like there's probably 20 million factors that played into this. It's just it's a shame that Vince lost a lot of money. It's an even bigger what the fuck as to what this other, like this investment firm that's come in and bought up so much stock has suddenly called for, which I find that absolutely insane. You know, they could, an investment firm comes in, buys a bunch of stock. Okay, now we want to change the management. So you want to basically try and take Vince McMahon out of his own company?
Not Vince, Hunter, or Steph. The George Barrows, Michelle Williams, those people.
That's fair enough. Then
the people making the people making who made it, not the booking.
The people I like are okay. Okay, never mind.
No more. Of
no,
the,
no, no. It's not even the people I like. It's the people with the head for the wrestling business. You want to keep them in control of a wrestling business.
Yeah, it's not them.
Have we not seen what happens when somebody invests a lot of money and they have no clue how to run a wrestling business?
I was gonna go Wrestlelicious, but okay.
Anyway,
thank you for reminding me of that fucking show and giving me a headache.
You're welcome.
No, it's where they're looking to get rid of some of the management who made the deal. Vince, Hunter, and Steph were not involved in the negotiations of the said deal. They were the PR for it, but they were not in the actual negotiation. So there's a conference call tomorrow, and I have a feeling heads are going to roll. And because there is a conference call tomorrow, Vince McMahon's not actually going to be at Raw, which is odd.
Which is good. Because the old man's been changing his mind almost four times a week lately, from all reports that it's been annoying, you know, the wrestlers that Vince says one thing at the start of the week, and when they get around to get around the Raw, it's like, okay, 5 minutes before showtime, oh, I changed my mind.
Right.
This will be a good chance for Triple H to show, you know, I'm controlling a show the entire way through. Let's see what happens.
Except Vince is probably Skyping or FaceTiming the entire time, and Triple H
He'll be using Google Hangouts.
He'll be using Google Hangouts, yes. Google is actually, I think, buying Twitch.
I think that's yep. Yeah. This is why we can't have nice things.
I know, right? So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
There is nothing wrong with Google.
Omega.
Only because they send you a check at the end of every month. Or every 3 months, whatever.
Every month.
Omega likes his Google money. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the conference call, if they actually let people go. I assume they will, but that's just me. But either way, we'll find out tomorrow. But on that note, we're going to go to break and then talk about the other big story of the week, Daniel Bryan. So you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Somewhere Tim Stein is trying to sell you something. Buy it? Maybe? I don't know.
Don't buy it.
We'll be back right after this.
Try to... and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
What's up, bitches? This is the Boston Badass, a.k.a. the Big Time Player, a.k.a. the Resident Masshole, or just simply Ace. I'm here to tell you about a way for you to find out about all the unusual things we have done over the years, and trust me, we have done a lot of unusual things over the past few years. Everything from bitches to crossing highways to strange ramblings by subway that no one ever really understands. Sex toys, which of course includes the blue dildo, and even the time, well, times I got pissed face drunk on this. Really, Rock? We're gonna really talk about that? Fuck you. You can relive all the excitement of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night, CB Radio, by visiting our official website at cbradio.ewazone.com. That's once again, cbradio.ewazone.com. Don't be a bitch ass. Visit the site and listen every Saturday night, about midnight, sometimes it starts about 12:30-ish, you know, Eastern time, just to find out what possibly we can come up with next.
Tim wants me to remind everybody, click the Google ad. So, do it.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Hey, you, go! Wild Talk! Wild Talk! You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey, you go! Bye-bye.
Godfather's in the house. Grab your bitches.
Pimpin' ain't easy, man. Pimpin' ain't easy, man. Pimpin' ain't easy, man. Pimpin' ain't easy, man.
Take a look at me, everything I own's iced out. Pimp, baby, you can see my wrist with the lights out. This time I do it, mad bitches in clothes. Godfather, baby, on the plates of my rolls. Step back, hey, to make a little room for my hoes. Gators on my feet, take a look at my toes. Money is the reason all the real players know that. Godfather lays punks to rest. You got no chance.
And welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Live, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, presented by PWMania.com.
And that is the only song off that CD that actually worked.
I was just thinking that.
There's one other one that worked, and that was the DX theme as well. I think
for
that
the time, but now not so
not,
much.
Now not so much. So the other bigger story of the week, and it caught many people by surprise on Monday, Daniel Bryan announced on Monday Night Raw he was having neck surgery. First reaction just to him saying he's going under neck surgery.
Fuck. That was the first word out of my mouth when I heard it. Because I'm like, great, here comes the title strip. which is understandable given the situation.
Yeah,
however,
I think it's terrible.
It's just like, he's had this weird run of sort of good, he had a really good run of good luck, you know, winning the title at WrestleMania 30, getting married to Brie, then all of a sudden, you know, his father passes away, now the next surgery, and it's like, well, fuck. Give the guy a break, would ya?
Let
him ride that high for... Yeah, but I'm Ching, thank you very much, Omega.
I'm classy.
No, you're not. You're far from it.
But in all honesty, you know, it's like, can the guy just sort of have all the good stuff? You know, he's been working his ass off for the last almost year to get himself to this point. And as soon as he gets it, oh, you got a neck injury. Oh, your father passes away. It's like, what fucking piece of karma did he piss off for this?
The Batista fans?
Both of them?
What Batista fans?
I was trying to find a reason.
I think it's terrible Triple H would try to bury Bryan by breaking his neck this way.
Well, that's what happens when Daniel Bryan touched the shovel at Extreme Rules. You should never touch the shovel.
Yeah, you need to leave the shovel alone.
It's Hunter's. Only Hunter's. No one else can use it. But yeah, Daniel Bryan gets hurt. No one knows how he got hurt or when he got hurt. You can assume it could have happened at Extreme Rules, or it could have been a combination of things leading up to that. It's just one of those things where, yeah, he gets hurt, goes under surgery on Thursday, and can be out anywhere from 1 month to 3 months. It's kind of leaves all the question of what's next for the WWE Championship. But first, if you're Daniel Bryan, after you recover, do you change your ring style, Mace?
Well, to be honest, he doesn't need to change his ring style all that much. He might have to drop a few things, like, you know, once again, the diving headbutt, which again seems to be another issue in professional wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, that was the first thing I thought of. You know, if it wasn't...
Sorry, go.
I mean, you know, first the Benoit incident, where we found out his brain was completely scrambled, and then this, where you know, well, that headbutt is not only risky, it's extraordinarily unnecessary as a move. And at this point, it's proving really dangerous.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, it's one of those moves that, like you said, it's unnecessary. It has shown to scramble your brains, as what happened with Benoit. Now, there's always been the risk of breaking or injuring your neck by the way that you land on a person with that move. So, I, for one, would be calling for it to be removed from wrestling at this point. You know, it's one of those moves, along with like a pile driver, is just a bit too risky to be doing in today's modern age. Brian's going to have to definitely change the ring style slightly, because, you know, you take out your more risky moves. So you take out things like the headbutt, maybe the volleyball drop kick or something like that. He can keep his running knee off the apron, because that's actually a lot safer than people would think.
Maybe.
What about the rope dive?
Again, the thing with the rope dive is not so much the guy who's doing the move, it's the guys who are catching him.
Maybe not do it every match.
Yeah, that was my concern.
Yeah, maybe save it for a special occasion, and when he does it, make sure that there is somebody between him and the railing. The amount of times he goes past the person into the railing has increased dramatically over the last 6 months. So that would have been a big cause of what's happened. And frankly, I put that on the guys that are catching him, because they should be able to catch him, not sort of get half a hand on him and let him fly into a barrier.
You hear that, cameraman?
Hey, if you got to sacrifice a cameraman to make sure the guy's safe, you sacrifice the cameraman.
No, I just remember Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. Cameramen don't catch for shit.
Especially when you use workers as cameramen. But to be honest, Bryan doesn't need to change up a lot of his stuff that dramatically. Bryan's always been a very technically solid ground-based worker. And he just needs to bring more of that back into his style than having the flash and pizzazz of the high-flying moves that he's been using lately to impress the bosses backstage. You know, the crowd love him for his wrestling talent, not because he takes ridiculous risks. Leave that to guys like Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, who are young and can bend like Gumby.
So he doesn't think Corey Mace should just trim down his moveset, not change his ring style, which I agree with. You then think about, okay, he's out 1 to 3 months. There's a pay-per-view in 2 weeks. We all know he's not going to be there. I think the key date is Money in the Bank. If he can't make it to Money in the Bank, do we, you know, use the S word and strip him of the title?
Well,
if he's going to be out...
Isn't it under some sort of WWE ruling that you're supposed to defend once every 30 days? As the heavyweight champion.
Caveat, okay.
Yeah.
But then you have the Dolph Ziggler exception to that rule, where he missed 6 weeks with a concussion and kept his championship.
I suppose this could probably go under the Dolph Ziggler clause of he's injured, let's give him 2 months and revisit it at that point. Because let's be dead honest. Since Bryan's won the title, he hasn't had much in terms of storyline or sort of a gigantic main focus. He's sort of been the sub-main focus of the shows, with the main focus being Evolution versus The Shield. Which will be enough to carry the company through at least 2 months so Bryan can rest up and they have a better idea of what they want to do.
But that's the thing. What is the limit? Is 2 months...
I'd probably say 2 to 3. 2 to 3 months.
Omega, what do you think?
Honestly, I don't think it's in terms of months. I think it's in terms of pay-per-views. If you're going to run... If you run the risk of running 2 pay-per-views in a row with no WWE World Heavyweight Championship, then yeah, you're probably going to have to strip him of the belt. Not that I like the idea. It's just a point of necessity. Because the thing with the Dolph Ziggler situation, the WWE Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship were still separate.
Correct.
So right now you're running the show without any top tier title,
which is fine for payback. Then you have money.
It's fine for payback, especially because the main event's going to be Evolution versus The Shield.
Well, we assume that at Extreme Rules too.
But okay, so what do we got after payback? Payback was what? We got payback this month, and then what? Money in the Bank next month.
We have payback on June 1st. June 29th is Money in the Bank. Middle of July is Battleground, and then SummerSlam.
I'd say Battleground. If he isn't right by Battleground, you have to start looking at that. Because you got payback, fine, let's go with the main event being Evolution versus The Shield. Money in the Bank, let the Money in the Bank match be the headline. You know, you don't need the title because you'll have the big fanciful, everybody decides to throw each other around, crash through everything type match that gets the crowd going. Battleground's going to be your issue pay-per-view because you're now starting to get to the point where a lot of people are getting ready to, you know, renew the WWE Network.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's what, month five or six for the network?
Month five, yeah.
month five. Okay, so that's the one that you really need to start. You need to start from Battleground to start building up for the repeat customer. So you're going to need something big on Battleground. You're going to need the title back.
And Battleground, I think, you know, that's where you start, and then SummerSlam, you really need that. You got to renew button. That big main event.
I thought Battleground was being switched out for Night of Champions, by the way.
Is it?
I think that's what was happening this year. I can't remember. They changed the pay-per-view order every year. It's getting ridiculous.
They inserted Battleground where Money in the Bank was, and they moved Money in the Bank up. That's from what I'm going off the WWE.com listing of. Here's how it is in order. Either way, there's a pay-per-view in July.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call
it. 2 in June, 1 in July.
Right. So whatever you want to call it, it's there. It's on the calendar. There is a pay-per-view in July.
Sorry, I'm wrong. Night of Champions is in September.
There you go.
So Battleground and SummerSlam are your ones where you're going to need the title back in contention. Payback and Money in the Bank, you can let those go with, you know, the obvious new main event for Payback and the Money in the Bank for the second one. At least in my opinion, but, you know, I could be wrong. Probably am wrong. People say I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
See?
Omega, what's your opinion?
I think mine's pretty much stated at this point. You know, if you're gonna run two pay-per-views without a world champion, you need to take the belt off of them. I mean, it sucks because they held off on it for so long. It sucks because he is so goddamn over to be taken out right as he's finally getting what we've been wanting him to get for the last 8-9 months. But, you know, it is a situation of the show must go on. You know, it's WWE. You need a World Heavyweight Championship.
Which leads to the question of, okay, you vacate the belt. What do you do? Do you just, you make a tournament? Do you give it to somebody? What do you do?
Well, let's see, if it's a...
Can we hold off till Survivor Series and do Deadly Games 2?
No.
Oh.
I'm surprised you didn't just say, let's bring back the King of the Ring.
Fuck yes. I've been wanting that for years.
You know, I figured out a damn good way of doing King of the Ring in one night, okay? That could work.
You mean like they used to do?
Yeah, right.
King of the Ring in one night.
Well, King of the Ring in one night they don't do anymore because it would take the entire pay-per-view to get every match in there. But there's a way you could do it in only 3 matches.
Okay, they've done that before too, but okay. Theory? What's your theory?
What? Theory?
How you do it. How would you do it then? Since it's been done before, but how would you do it since you have the idea?
Well, you get your 8 men who qualified.
Uh-huh.
You stand them outside the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they kind of act as lumberjacks. Okay? 2 guys go in. They wrestle, you know, about a 5-minute match. You know, winner, you know, one of them wins, one loses, they roll out. 2 more guys immediately roll in. So you got a 20-minute spot for a match where 4 matches will take place. It's exciting, it's quick, it's fast-paced, crowds into it, something different. Middle of the night. Do the same thing, except with the winners. They go, you know, 10 minutes, again, 20-minute match spot. Both matches in, you know, crowds into it. You know, something different. Move on. And then you have the finals with the Lumberjacks, who are now all pissed off because they all lost. Which makes the Lumberjacks a hell of a lot more fun for the finals.
Okay. That sounds Vince Russo-ish.
Yeah, I was about to say, didn't TNA have a concept sort of like this for a battle royal once?
Except it's not a battle royal. Technically, it's three matches.
Okay, Vince.
I'm going to assume you mean McMahon because it's a genius idea.
No. Russo.
Fuck you. Look, I'm not saying, like, King of the Ring to determine this. Like, okay. We have Money in the Bank coming up?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. If you need a quick out, just, you know, I much as I like the Money in the Bank concept, just put the fucking belt up there. You know, that's if you need a really quick way out, but that works. Yeah.
No, I can understand that, yeah.
Okay. Better question. Who's in line to get that title?
Line.
Next question, please.
No, who do you think should get the title? If it's not since Daniel Bryan out of the picture, who is ready to get that championship?
Nobody I want to see hold the fucking belt. That's the thing, like, the way the main event is, you either have guys who are in other feuds doing much better things, or you basically have to bring back ye old throwback standbys. It means we'd be going back to, you know, Cena, Orton, Batista. Yay.
Triple H movement?
Fuck you and your Triple H movement! With the biggest, spikiest, hardest dildo in the devil's bottom drawer.
It would draw a lot of heat.
Yeah, it would if somebody starts a fire at Titan Towers.
Okay, give me someone better.
That's the thing. There's no one. They backed themselves into a fucking corner. You have to fall back on the old staples. And nobody wants to see them. They're off doing other things right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Cena versus Bray Wyatt, for the first time in quite a while, I've actually been interested in a John Cena storyline. You've got Orton and Batista doing the Evolution thing against the Shield, and I'm interested in that. Put them in the main event, put them up for titles. I'm already bored shitless, and they haven't even done it. There's nobody in the mid-card that you can bring up, because they've pretty much turned the mid-card into a joke.
And the guys they are pushing are like 6 months to a year away from being in position to hold that title.
If that, try year 2 to 3.
Yeah, the closest they have is Roman Reigns, and he's still at least 6 months of building off.
Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but I think I realized the only one who can save this now. It would be Paul Heyman's client, Brock Lesnar, the man who broke the streak.
I don't think you should do that.
Name me someone better.
Triple H.
Fuck you and your Triple H movement.
No, the reason why I don't say Brock Lesnar is you're going to have to beat Brock Lesnar, and since he just beat the streak, there's no way anyone should beat Brock Lesnar for a long time.
Well, it's no problem. He only shows up every 4 months.
Exactly. You might as well put it on a part-timer who shows up once every 4 months at this stage. Because it's
He might as well keep the belt on the guy with a broken neck.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I'll be honest at this stage, you want to start building Brock Lesnar as the big draw for next year? For WrestleMania next year? Put the belt on him now. Have him go up against Batista. Have him go up against Randy Orton. Have him go up against John Cena. Have him fucking kill them all. And I know that now that he's the man who broke the streak, he is now Mr. Untouchable. That's now bullshit. because we always said that the streak should have been untouchable, at least a lot of us did. But they went and broke that, so they can break this. You want to build up something that's going to really try and get the crowd back for next year? Hell, Brian versus Brock next year will do it. You have the guy who would be the biggest heat magnet in the company outside of Triple H going up against a guy who never lost the title, and you can start this whole having to earn his way back up and having to fight against everybody again, and it'll go through again. And that'll draw your money. I know you could probably do the same thing with switching out Brock and Triple H. I just think it's probably better that we start building Brock.
I just don't want to put the title on. I don't want Brock to lose anytime soon to make his win mean something, if that makes any sense. He's supposed to be the badass.
But the thing is, you don't have to have him lose. You take your time. You build between Battleground and SummerSlam. Have Brock take the title at SummerSlam. Have him run through everybody every couple of months through to WrestleMania.
Even then, I think him losing at WrestleMania is too quick. But that's just me.
Well, how long would he be? How long do you want him to go 21-0 at WrestleMania before he loses?
I would have him be undefeated for a couple of years, since he only wrestles three to four times a year. You make him into a big deal. When then he finally loses, he's done.
But then you can still do that within the time between now and WrestleMania 31.
You think he's done at 31?
Well, that's when his contract's up. And considering Vince McMahon just took, what, a $340 million hit in stocks? I don't think he's going to be in a hurry to redo Brock's contract for, you know, how many million for sweet fuck all dates.
I still think he'll re-sign again, and he'll be around for a few more years. It's very easy money for Brock.
But then you can also extend it from... Okay, so you have Brock at WrestleMania. He's had the title since SummerSlam. Fine. You keep the thing going at WrestleMania. Don't always have to have a title change at the main show. You can keep it going. You can keep him going till the next SummerSlam. You can keep him going till WrestleMania 32.
Brock Lesnar, longest reigning WWE champion in history.
And I tell you what, if I was Vince McMahon, you build up Brock Lesnar to the point where he breaks CM Punk's longest holding streak,
mm-hmm.
Throw a dump truck at money at CM Punk for a one-time match. Punk versus Brock, the two longest holding champions. Can you not see the dollar signs?
At this point with him.
What, do we get Bruno Sammartino involved in this somehow, too?
He'll be the special guest referee.
Well, at that point, I'd say probably be the timekeeper, but okay. I don't think Bruno's that quick on his feet these days.
Neither was Eva Marie, but she reffed.
I watched that during the break. Oh my god. I can see what Omega meant by Natty was pinned for like 3 weeks.
On the thing backwards, yeah.
Yeah, it was like reverse. Natty was pinned for at least what I counted, at least a 15 count before Eva Marie even went down to count.
Mm-hmm.
My god, girl.
Listening in his car is Tim Stein. He goes, driving home, well, about 2 and 10. Give the title to Barrett somehow. When Bryan comes back, you have the setup for the feud that should be between Barrett and Bryan.
So, I'm sorry, Barrett is not a main event player. He's the true B-plus in this scenario.
I almost want to think Barrett could get there. He's finding himself. It took a long time, but he's actually finding himself at this point.
I'd still put him at 2 to 3 years off, easy.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying that. I mean, there's so many guys in the WWE right now that are going to get there, but just not there yet. And you've got all three members of the Shield. You've got Barrett. You've got Cesaro. They could work. Not yet, though.
They all need to continue building momentum.
Yeah. So that's the unfortunate thing about this transition that we're going through with the WWE, at least at the moment. With all you young guys coming in, your more experienced mid-carders just don't feel like the type of guys you want to put into the main event. All your young guys are still many years off being a headline draw. And it brings it round back to that problem that I had at the beginning. Your experienced guys that are in and around the main event have all held titles, or they're people that you don't want to see hold the title.
And that's the problem we are in right now.
Yeah. Brock, save us.
WWE is in a position where they're grooming stars, but they're not there yet, and that goes to show why Daniel Bryan's feuding with was and is currently feuding with Kane, because you're building heels, but you don't want to kill their momentum by feeding on Bryan just yet.
Yeah. You know, there's still the obvious rematch that should have happened already, which was Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan.
Well, the obvious one was Batista versus Bryan, but no, Batista doesn't want a job to a little guy. Or whatever the reason really is.
Money.
Yeah.
It's money.
Money.
So, do you think tomorrow they say they're stripping him of the title?
I don't think they're going to strip him tomorrow. If they strip him tomorrow, they're facing riot territory.
It's a good thing.
It'll scream desperation by the company.
Good thing they're overseas then.
Oh yeah.
Have you not seen the civil unrest in Europe at the moment?
Oh, I know. What do you think? Am I gonna do? They strip him tomorrow?
Yeah, that's... God, that's tough. I don't think they strip him. You know, I think tomorrow's a little bit quick to do that.
Right, but...
It's just a... God, it's a hard spot to be.
Would you say this would be the whole announcement of Steph coming out and going, look, as painful as it is, and I wish Daniel Bryan a speedy recovery, you know, fanservice, blah, blah, blah. Unfortunately, I'm in the situation where I now must enact the 30-day clause in the championship contract. Would that be more the scenario that would be workable tomorrow night?
I don't think so. I don't think they even recognize that at times.
I don't think they remember it at times.
That too. It's a tough situation for them to be put in, honestly. It's... If you put a time... Like, say you put in... Okay, you have 30 days from this point to get back in the ring and defend your title, which technically would then be Money in the Bank. Give it a day or two. Are they putting pressure on him to return that quick? And is that something you would want to do?
I wouldn't say it's forcing him to return quickly. It's more giving themselves an out that doesn't hurt Bryan by, you know, making him come back before he's ready or anything like that. But it puts heat on Stephanie and the authority, because they're in this situation where they are forced into this situation. Giving the countdown clock gives people hope. And when that hope expires after the 30 days, wow, the heat that's going to come. It just gives them a storyline out, rather than saying, he's injured, we're going to strip him straight away. Because who knows? Like, that's the thing. At the moment, they're saying anywhere from 1 to 3 months. For all we know, he might get a blood transfer from John Cena thanks to the rays of the sun, and the moon of Krypton can, you know, heal him in 3 seconds flat.
And the Bella Twin magic.
Exactly.
According to all the research I did coming into for Thursday when the injury first was, you know, told about, he talked for sports activity, it takes anywhere from 2 to 3 months for the type of procedure he had.
Yeah, and once again, you know, Cena's been out with a bung neck as well, and he returned in.
Well, that's John Cena.
Well, okay. Well, to be fair, we haven't seen Daniel Bryan injured like this, so who knows? You know, maybe he's got some like residual like ex-vegan powers.
Vegan power, really?
Worked in Scott Pilgrim.
I will give you that. So, it will be interesting to see what they do on Monday Night Raw. That being said, we're going to take our final timeout of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to get some odds and ends in the world of pro wrestling, maybe discuss a little Wyatt, John Cena, Shield, who knows, it's all up in the air at this point. But we will be back right after this quick timeout, and, well, yeah, maybe Tim will be here. Probably not. You're tuned in to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you ready for war? Then bring it on. My craftmatic like a stripper. When it's out, you throw your cash at it. Hope I don't rat tat it from the hash and grass addict. I spit in mad rapid like I took a bad package. You pay tolls of the drummer, I easy pass static. But when it's time, I bad habit, let the Mac at it. You don't want what we got in store. Keep your mother-in-law indoor when we walk outdoor. Them four balls of my Benz, which is shocking.
The evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know. The show hasn't gone anywhere. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. But who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments.
Oh my God!
Don't do this!
Get back to the champion!
and the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Law Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top cigarette butts and bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter R, you know, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch. L-O-E-S-C-H. All one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Pox, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air, at X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air, every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live here on WildTalkRadio.com, presented by PWMania.com. And we're going to go through some odds and ends in the world of professional wrestling. And we'll start with...
Yeah, like my ears bleeding after hearing that song.
That's
that was terrible! Oh my god, I forgot that even existed!
I had no idea for music, I just randomly found that folder and went, hey, let's play some of those songs. So,
never, ever do that again, for the love of God.
I can make it a Grease night.
You know, I would have preferred that.
We did that Thursday, and Kane Kittens had hated every single second of it. It was tremendous.
Well, he's not in the chat room, so fuck it.
Well, anyway.
Next week.
Well, we may do show tunes at some point, just to, you know. Anyway. WWE issued a survey asking fans who they want to see at this year's SummerSlam. They were give, you got these options. Batista, Roman Reigns, Cesaro, Brock Lesnar, John Cena, and AJ Lee. Odd survey, don't you think?
Especially considering half of them will probably be there no matter what.
Yeah. I think the only one that might not be there might be Miss Brooks, I mean AJ Lee.
No, she's expected back after her wedding next month. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, AJ Lee is getting married to CM Punk next month.
Lucky bastard.
Yeah, AJ is. Wait, what?
And breaking news that has taken over the entire internet, CM Punk tweeted. No, seriously, it's taken over the internet. Every news website has CM Punk.
I know.
on Twitter.
Oh my god, that's right. He used his Twitter account.
The other day he was in the gym. And that was like, oh my god.
Oh my god, he's with Bushwhacker Luke. Oh my god. Stop.
He's not dead.
He's not at a hockey game for once.
No, he was at a baseball game yesterday. And talked about
changing it up.
And talked about hockey. Anyway, but yes, they're getting married. So yeah. They also issued a survey asking, you know, to the people who actually bought WrestleMania not nowhere again and asked why they didn't. And they asked, was it have a limited budget and choose to spend money elsewhere? Don't have fast enough broadband. Don't know how to set up the WWE network on your TV? Have data limits and wanted to avoid overages, or it would be too complicated. These seem like valid reasons not to get the network.
I think the money one is, if they're asking people who bought WrestleMania rather than get the network.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm pretty sure the network's cheaper.
Right. Like, they paid $60 to $70 for the network, for WrestleMania. And wouldn't pay the $10 per month to get the network.
You know the one option that's not on there that would be the main answer for a lot of those people?
Not available in my country?
No, besides that one.
What's that?
I only buy WrestleMania each year.
A lot of people just do that. That is true.
Because, yeah, like, that's... I think that ends up... most years is about a quarter of that. That buy number is the people who buy WrestleMania once a year. That's their only pay-per-view purchase for the year is WrestleMania. And they usually share the cost over, you know, having six, seven people around $10, throwing $10 each and buy the show.
Right.
So you that's basically your casuals that this whole thing was advertised to. And they're not the type of people who are going to, you know, want to buy the WWE Network. Sure, it's like, yeah, it's you get six pay-per-views for the same price that you just pay for WrestleMania, but I don't want to watch six pay-per-views. I just want to watch this one.
And that's where they're struggling at the moment.
You got to think, a lot of times when you're getting WrestleMania anyway, if you're just getting WrestleMania, that's the only thing you get. You're usually splitting the costs 10 ways, depending on how many people are actually at the party.
Between 5 to 10, at least.
Yeah.
Unless you find a bar or something that's got it on and save yourself a lot more money and spend it all on beer and nachos.
Which, that probably won't be as much now because DirecTV is no longer carrying their pay-per-views.
Doesn't take much to get somebody with a laptop with the network to hook it up to a TV.
No, it doesn't. Apparently, DirecTV is being bought by AT&T as well. A lot of billions of changing hands in the next few days.
Can you hear me now? 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 Can you see me now? Now, this is the thing. Like, I know business licensing is a whole different deal, but I just want to sort of get your opinions on this. Wouldn't the WWE Network, just for the pay-per-views alone, be a great buy for businesses?
Oh, would be.
But I guess but the only problem with that is that licensing is a different thing for businesses as it is for residential.
Yeah, you need a commercial.
So if I remember, the business licenses are a lot more expensive for the pay-per-view system than it was for residentials.
Yeah, you need a commercial license and such. And maybe if you even have the commercial license, you can still buy the network and stream the pay-per-view. You're still paying the fee for the license to air it. You're just not paying whatever to, for the pay-per-view. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. That might be something that any business owners who might listen to us might want to try and see if they can sort some of that out. Might save them some money.
That's it, because the main business I think of, and it's wrestling related, you think of Terra Squared Circle. What does she do? Does she show the network? That sort of thing. Is she allowed to show the network? That would be interesting to find out.
Yeah. Because seriously, if you want a cheap way for businesses to get people in to watch pay-per-views that's not going to cost them a lot of money, using the WWE Network system seems like a great idea, to be honest.
It would be, and you just got to make sure the WWE Network works.
Well, okay, here's the thing. A lot of businesses will always have a decent internet line in their company. They usually buy a business package.
Yeah.
Which is a lot stronger than your current residential internet.
This is very true. And for a business, they would buy something like an Apple TV, that whole setup, which is the thing that runs the smoothest from what I've heard.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. It would make the businesses a lot of money.
Yeah. So once again, any business owners who are looking into the pay-per-view models for their business, get back to us on that, please. Like email admin@wildtalkradio.com and let us know, because I'm actually quite interested in this from a business point of view now. Yeah. Because I want to try to convince some businesses down here to do it.
And then they'll slip you a cut. Anyway.
Don't have to slip me a cut. Just let me get in the door for nothing.
Give
me a couple of beers. I'm good.
Well, there's your cut then. Former WWE superstar Harry David Hart Smith apparently choked out a thief while in Amsterdam this past week. He witnessed a man stealing a woman's purse, and while three security guards were having a hard time with the man, Smith jumped in and took the guy down and put him in a choke. The man actually started tapping out, but Smith held the choke on him for a while before allowing security to take him away.
Now, was he actually tapping out or just flailing for his life?
I do not know.
The reports are tapping out, basically tap.
I give.
On the arm, yeah.
It is said the man went from ultra-aggressive to calm very quickly.
With the air supply cut off, that doesn't fucking surprise me. But no, good on him for getting it. I just hope that the laws in Amsterdam are not such where he gets pulled up for assault for doing it. That's the only issue I have with this whole story. Mm-hmm. Former security guard myself, I know that the actions that you take have to be on the same level as the person you're taking them on. Because Smith is not licensed to be a security guard or any type of person like that, what he technically did could be considered assault, depending on the laws in the country. So I just hope it doesn't come back to bite him in the ass, that's all.
Here's hoping it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, I suppose with the three security guards having trouble with the guy, they might be lenient if the guy does put an assault charge up on Smith.
They are very strict on vigilante justice there.
Yeah, sorry for injecting reality into such a nice story, but...
Buzzkill.
Damn right, somebody has to be on this fucking network and Tim's not here.
No, he's driving in his car going, I agree with Mace. let's talk about Bray Wyatt versus John Cena. And you said earlier, Mace, that you're really interested in this feud. You're actually caring about a John Cena feud. What do you think about the stipulation for Payback? Last man standing.
I'll be honest, it's sort of a letdown after the cage match idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's the thing. It's not so much the match side of things that I've been interested in with this whole feud. It's always been the build-up to it. It's been the promos. It's been the mind games and everything. As we had the problem at the pay-per-view at Extreme Rules, when... Like, leading up to it, we get excited, we get really drawn into it, we get drawn into the drama, we get drawn into the mind games, and to see what Bray pulls out next. When they actually get in the ring, we sort of sit back and go, something's missing. You know, so it's not so much the matches that intrigue me, more just the story leading up to them.
I thought the Mania match proved itself well enough. The cage match, now, that was poorly booked.
Yeah, they went to the escape the cage in 2 minutes when they could have did that in after 10 minutes. And
well,
then it
the
was
story
fine.
In that match wasn't... what made the WrestleMania match interesting was Bray trying to corrupt John Cena and trying to drive him to this point where he had to kind of lose himself in order to actually win. You know, you cannot beat me as a man, you have to beat me as a monster type thing. Which was an interesting story to play out with John Cena, especially with a character as creepy as Bray Wyatt. But the cage match was just very standard, oh, John Cena can't get out with the Wyatt family out there, and how is he going to get out of the cage? And that's just so done to death.
Yeah, whereas this time we've got a last man standing match. So you're going to have Rowan and Harper on the outside. But this is also going to be, again, it's going to be a psychological play with Bray. You know, it's basically, this is built for Bray to take it. You know, he's got to push John Cena to snap. Because John's going to pick up the chair and be like, no, I don't want to do it. And Bray will be like, go on, hit me with it. Prove to these people that you are not as straight-laced as you make yourself out to be. So this does have the potential to be along the lines of the WrestleMania match. But it's just the way that I've interpreted the whole thing is I've been more attracted to the build-up than I have been to the matches. But, you know, that's just me. I like storytelling. I like story time.
I like stories.
What do you think of the stipulation, Omega?
It's not a bad choice. You know, the way their feud works out, the way they are telling their story, is it kind of makes sense. You know, they are both trying to prove themselves that what they believe, their philosophy, is correct. Mm-hmm. So, in a sense, this has been last man standing from the beginning. This is just far more literal now.
Mm-hmm.
I got no problem with the stipulation. I mean, it should be a good match. I mean, as I said, my issue with the previous match was it wasn't really about the match between the two. It was about escaping the cage. And it's, you know, any time your hero is booked in a way that makes him run away, hello, Brian and Kane, it doesn't quite work out for me. So, this, where this promises to be nice and brutal, very much, throwing everything they can at each other type match, I think it's got a much better chance of working for me.
One other thing that happened this week, the Shield were hunting Evolution. What do you think of Monday Night Raw, guys, between the two factions?
The pot she be boiling. Sitting there bubbling away and it's sort of getting to the fever pitch. Interesting to see Batista taking the aggression. So being the aggressor.
Shades
give
of
me give me Roman Reigns! Aren't you meant to be fucking off to do a movie soon?
After Payback. He's off to promote.
I got real, you know, I almost started to feel bad for Batista, considering his one real win since actually coming back was against Del Rio. Which is not exactly a bragging point.
Yeah. All that money and, yeah, he hasn't really been doing well. No wonder he's been pissed off lately. But, yeah, this, at the moment, it's one of those, I want to sit back and watch them tear the shit out of each other type moments.
Do you think we're going to get some sort of stipulation for their match at Payback? Maybe an elimination type deal?
With the last man standing between Bray and Cena, I don't think this one really merits even an elimination style stipulation. Personally, if it was me, I would have gone, hey, let's throw no DQ into it and just let them go fucking nuts. But they pretty much did that last month. So.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They did that without even saying it.
Yeah.
It's Extreme Rules Night. No DQs, I guess.
Yeah, this, I don't know if there's really a way to sort of build this one up with a stipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Because this thing doesn't require there to really be rules, but they need rules. Like, you want them to just, you know, this would be something like, I don't know, throw them in a cage and let them beat the shit out of each other. Hell, 6-man hell in a cell. You know, just enclose them in something that they can beat the crap out of each other and take insane bumps off. that's all this thing really needs. It's like, just put them in the ring and let them go nuts.
That's...
I know we did that last month, but it still is attractive to the viewer.
That really sounds like something called War Games, but, you know.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, they can't really do it, supposedly. There's no arena that can hold two rings, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, except there is one at Payback.
Yeah, exactly.
Or is it Battleground? I can't remember now.
It's one of those arenas. Yeah, I just don't... Like, I want there to be a stipulation that allows them to beat the shit out of each other without really having to risk disqualifications or something like that. But at the same time, it's hard to go, hey, we're going to do no DQ again when we did that last month. Shit. Now what do we do to amp it up?
Well, they used fire last month for Kane and Bryan, so you can't use fire. I got nothing. At that point. But it'll be interesting to see if they add anything or they just go, here's your normal 6-man tag. Which is fine by me. Anyway, so there's that. We'll get more into the pay-per-view next week, because next week we'll be previewing the pay-per-view, because Payback is on June the 1st. Now, though, it's time for the Great Debate.
Welcome to this week's Great Debate.
Oh my God, wait a minute, it's Paul Bearer! It's Paul Bearer! And that's gotta be Kane! That's gotta be Kane!
And I am the new millennium for the World Wrestling Federation! Well, for those of you who don't know me, I am Chris Jericho, your new hero, your party host, and most importantly, the most charismatic showman to ever enter your living rooms via a television screen.
If this is who we think it is, and we have every reason to believe that this is the human being that has been stalking The Undertaker's wife.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
the Radicals take on the New World Order. Omega.
Oh, God damn it. Since we're just talking debuts, it's not really fair to compare what became of them. Because if it was that easy, then yeah, the New World Order would just run roughshod over this whole thing. Not really fair, considering it's just about the debut. You know, for this... Oh, God, that's tough. Okay, just on sheer shock value, just on the debut of it alone, disregarding what it became. Oh, God damn it.
Come on, Omega. You gotta make a choice.
I know.
Radio, you can't have dead air.
I know, because so. I'm trying. It's the heel turn of Hulk Hogan versus four notable stars going, you know, crossing at the same time, including the guy who just won the world title. Yo.
Wrong temporary theme.
Turn the fucking thing off. You know what? Fuck it, I'll go with the Radicals.
Why the Radicals?
I'm basing this on just the shock value of four guys at the same time, especially the one who just won the World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, yeah, Hulk Hogan and the New World Order, enormous. No one expected Hogan to ever be the bad guy, especially that big of a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of me still really favors just the sheer quantity of the Radicals' debut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially with Chris Benoit there. I mean, the fact that they're world heavyweight champion of all people, you'd think, oh, that's the guy. That's the guy that's behind the company the whole way. He's on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
You know that for me is just this enormous factor. That's the one edge I could give it over Hogan. Just the fact it's four guys crossing over and the world champion. Turning his back on the company right after they gave him the biggest push they could.
Now at the same time, Hogan turning and joining the NWO is one of the biggest moments in wrestling history, and for that formation alone, you would assume you go NWO, just because that's the first time Hulk Hogan turned heel since 1980.
I'm aware.
That's why I'm going NWO. Mace.
Taking out the ramifications of what happened, bringing it down to the debut alone, I'm actually going with the Radicals.
Okay.
The deciding factor is when it happened. Okay, when the NWO debuted, there was no internet. You just had dirt sheets. Not everybody had access to the dirt sheets. Not very many people knew about the situation, the Madison Square Garden event. People didn't know that Hall and Nash had just finished up their contracts. So that debut, yeah, it was a shock. You know what's a bigger shock? In an age when information is at your fingertips, and they still pull one over you. When you didn't find out that anything had happened. backstage until after these guys debuted. That's the bigger coup. Four guys from WCW jump ship, and before the dirt sheets, the websites could even find out word one of what happened, or even that they were released, they pop up on Raw. And they debut on Raw. And it's like, wow. You know, so it's more props for the era and the availability of knowledge at the time that gets the Radicals over the NWO.
So the Radicals move on to the Final Four. Chris Jericho's WWE debut against the debut of the Outsiders. Omega?
Once again, taking out all the factors of what would this come down to, just boiling it down to just the debut. It's a shock to see Hall and Nash jump in when we knew them in the WWE so well, WWF at the time. Jericho jumping over at a similar time, not as big of a star. Certainly one of the most known guys in WCW, not a former world heavyweight champion like Nash was. But then there's the build up, the Y2J, the countdown promos, the fact he stormed in on The Rock of all people. Both debuts are big because of who was involved, and the shock switch over that it was.
I was going to say you have more shock value with the Outsiders because it was so sudden, but that didn't take away the shock. Just because there was a countdown clock doesn't take away Jericho's. Either.
Right.
But between a very creative way of building up the hype for it,
mm-hmm.
A very viral marketing thing before viral marketing was a thing, and the fact that it was, of all people, The Rock that he took the stage from,
mm-hmm.
I'll give this to Jericho.
Mace?
The biggest thing that sort of hurt the outside a bit, again, worked in Jericho's favor, was the mystery. You had Scott Hall coming straight out saying, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring the big bang. And I'm the Midian-sized bang. the whole mystery... sort of, it's good for long-term planning, but they put the mystery after the debut. The whole mystery was leading up to Hogan. So that sort of worked against them, because them, as a duo, you didn't get much. They powerbombed Eric Bischoff at Great American Bash. They annoyed the announcers table. Then they had the Great American Bash, or the Bash of the Beach, sorry. That was their match.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho, on the other hand, had the mystery build up to his debut. And he didn't just go, I'm just, here's mystery after I've debuted. He turned around and said, hey, Rock, you're fucked. Take your silver spoon out of your mouth. I'm going to cut a promo that's going to make you look like a pussy. Yeah, I'm sorry, Jericho. Easily Jericho in this situation.
Yeah, I'm going to make it unanimous, Jericho.
This is the difference between knocking on the door and waiting to be let in and kicking the door down saying, hey, bitches, what's up?
As good as the Outsiders' intrigue was, better debut overall with Chris Jericho. So we're down to our final four, and we will determine the greatest debut of all the times next week. It will be Kane versus big shows, WWE debut in one battle, and the Radicals take on Chris Jericho in the other battle, and then we'll get down to the other two and finish it all off next week right here on Wrestle Talk Radio. That being said, it's time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
It's really a shame Tim's not here. We actually had juicy questions lined up for him.
Which, you know, he wouldn't have answered anyway, so.
But he would have cringed.
He would have cringed, because, yeah. Anyway, we'll start with you, Mace. What would you do if you just inherited a pizzeria from your uncle?
Take it over, double check the books, make sure that we've got enough money there to help get us through the transition. Probably work there for a couple of years and sell it off.
There you go. Omega, you're a new addition to the crayon box. What color would you be and why?
I have to invent a color.
Yes. This is an actual question that's asked on job interviews.
A friend of mine once described the color of a car he saw as obnoxious. So bright, it was literally like just such a blaringly bright color. It was offensive to the eye.
Right.
The one he saw was obnoxious yellow. I like the sound of obnoxious green better.
There you go. Maze, name five uses of a stapler without actually using the staples.
Five uses of a stapler. Paperweight. Flying object of hurting to the head.
Flying object of hurting to the head.
Yeah. A very interesting way to create a pyramid if you have multiples. A nice little hiding container for either Skittles or Smarties or M&M's at work so your boss doesn't find them.
Okay.
Well, you open up the top and instead of staples, you put
M&M's. I got it. That's actually creative.
It is. One more. An interesting replacement for a burglar trap. Because think about it, you leave enough laying around the floor, they're going to trip over one eventually.
Thank you, Kevin McAllister.
Yep, I Home Alone that shit.
Alright, Omega, finally, if you were a brick in a wall, which brick would you be and why?
For such a stupid question, I'm really thinking about that one a little too much.
Would you be on top, in the middle?
I understand the concept of brick placement, Rock.
No, I'm killing the dead air a little bit.
But it sounds like you're instructing me upon the usages of bricks.
No, I'm just, you know.
I play with Lego. I know.
I know this. That's why I asked you this question.
Yes. I would probably be somewhere in the middle.
Why?
To show that I am not only capable of supporting other bricks, but also being appreciative of the ones that support me.
That's a nice, good answer. There you go. So that's Quick Hits, everybody. We had to...
Am I hired?
No.
Oh, fuck you all. I'm a top brick. You all carry me.
Shame Tim wasn't here. We actually had questions lined up for him. Anyway, we'll ask it to him next week. Anyway. Anyway, tomorrow night's the Raw Post Show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Joe, myself, and Lizzie. We'll recap Raw in about 45 minutes. Thursday night is the Rack at 11 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Check out The Rack Extra Total Divas Season 2 Episode 8 review now on both websites. And Season 2 Episode 9 review will be available this Friday afternoon. Saturday night is CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual. Go back and listen to last night's episode. We talk all the news you can possibly comprehend, and then they got into a movie discussion. You tell Subway to talk. He actually talked for a little bit. Who knew? He actually could. And you could actually understand him. It's amazing how that works. Check it out. CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual. Follow us on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/cigarette butts and bandanas. We'll be back next Sunday night live at 10 p.m. Eastern. Tim Stein should be here with Mason and Maggie covering the week in pro wrestling. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Go to GoNHLGo.com/forum. Sign up for the forum because Tim wants you to talk about hockey. You follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Mace, stuffs?
Yeah, stuffs. If you haven't done so already, please go to youtube.com/user/WTR Games Garage, where I have reviews of video games up at the moment, with more coming soon when I can be bothered. Follow me on Twitter at TheMaceThing, and coming soon to WildTalkRadio.com will be the review of Gojira! Featuring me and an Asian person.
As an Asian, you know it's going to be good.
Hey, I'm going to see it with two Asians.
Where did you find two?
If I really wanted to, I could find, like, a dozen, easy.
It's actually one, and he just has a mirror, so it's two.
It's all camera tricks.
Yeah.
I know there's only three Asians.
Speaking of camera tricks, Omega.
You can see all of my camera tricks over at youtube.com/user/TJOmega, or just search for the fucking thing instead of typing it. I am also on Facebook at TJ Reviews, Twitter at TJ Omega. And then there's TJOmega.org, where, well, you can find everything, so I don't know why I just plugged everything individually.
Force of habit. So, for Mason Omega, I'm Sir Rock, and we'll see you next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live, right here along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wild Talk Radio.com.